Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. I hope wherever you're watching or listening to this around the world, you are having a very good Friday and a very good start to the weekend. A big, big weekend in the Premier League. Huge weekend, in fact. I'm not sure big really does it justice. Arsenal with a chance to go top on Saturday with that game against Brentford. 3 points will take them back to the top for the first time since Christmas. And then just under 24 hours later, it is Liverpool versus Manchester City at Anfield. It doesn't get much bigger than this when it comes to a title race that is so, so tight, just 2 points separating the top three. So we'll look at that weekend in today's show. We'll look at Saturday's game against Brentford. Who could start that game? Is it time for Leandro Trossard to come in? Would you take no risks whatsoever with Gabriel Martinelli, despite what you would have to say was quite a decent injury update from Mikel Arteta yesterday on Saka and Martinelli, but with that massive game against Porto on Tuesday night as well in the Champions League, can you really take any risks with Martinelli if he is not 100%? So we'll talk about that. I'll give my thoughts on it. Look at what you guys have been saying as well. Look at what Mikel Arteta has been saying ahead of the game and the weekend as a whole. So plenty to get stuck into. And we'll start with the team, shall we, for Saturday. I mean, it's a huge, huge decision for Mikel Arteta to make. The injury update, like I said, was very, very good yesterday on Martinelli and Saka. Mikel said that Arsenal were pretty positive that both would be okay to feature. Obviously, he didn't say they'd be okay to start, just that they would be okay to feature. You'd think Saka should be fine. You know, he was ill in the game against Sheffield United, had been ill in the build-up to it, had to go home early from London Colney one of the days. Still played 45 minutes, but then was withdrawn. But all accounts, you know, Bukayo Saka should be fine and would have shaken off that illness by now on Saturday. Gabriel Martinelli is different. Obviously, he went off in the game against Sheffield United in the second half. It did not look good at all as he was basically carried off the pitch. Didn't look good. Really, really worrying. But the initial sort of prognosis from Mikel Arteta afterwards that it was just a cut on his foot. And then yesterday's update certainly made it seem like he's going to have a good, good chance. Now, the training pictures that Arsenal put out yesterday, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see one of them on the screen. But the training pictures they put out, of course, didn't feature either Gabriel Martinelli or Bukayo Saka. But as we know, that doesn't mean that they're not playing, that they're not fit. It's just that Arsenal don't photograph players that are any sort of doubts for games. Mikel Arteta doesn't like it. He doesn't want to give the opposition any sort of clue in terms of who's going to be playing. He wants to keep them guessing until the very last moment. So don't read too much into the fact that they weren't in the training pictures. But I think Gabriel Martinelli especially is really an interesting one, because you as much as you... Obviously, the next game is the most important. Mikel Arteta says that all of the time. And it is. And Brentford is huge. Arsenal cannot afford to drop points on Saturday. They can barely afford to drop points in any game now, between now and the end of the season, such as the keenly contested title race that they are in. But having said that, you still have to pay some attention to the following game. And Arsenal's following game, of course, is just 48 hours later, and it is massive. It's against Porto in the Champions League. It's a game that Arsenal have to win because of that 1-0 defeat in Portugal. And you want to... So there has to be a balancing act in terms of the starting 11s. And I just think, as much as I think you've got to go pretty much as full strength as you can against Brentford and do the same against Porto, I wouldn't be making wholesale changes for either games. I'd keep pretty much the same starting 11. If there's any sort of injury doubt on a player, I wouldn't be taking any risks, especially with that Porto game. And Gabriel Martinelli, look, he's in very, very good form. But Arsenal, that's one of the areas where Arsenal have options where they can replace and still be very, very strong. Leandro Trossard, I mean, on the screen here, you've got three players who could potentially play in that role. You've got Gabriel Jesus, who can play out wide, probably won't do it. I imagine Mikel's not going to take that option, but it is an option. We saw it earlier on the season. He's played on the left lots of Manchester City and was very, very successful there. So he could play there. Now he's back fit. Leandro Trossard obviously is the sort of go-to man when it comes to replacing Gabriel Martinelli. He's been in really good form this season. He's scoring goals. He played well as a central striker, as the false nine recently, but he can certainly play out on the left. And then you've got Emil Smith-Rowe as well, who is another option on the left-hand side. I mean, even Fabio Vieira could come into the equation, or Reece Nelson, of course, who Mikel likes to play on the left. So there's plenty of options where I just don't think you have to take a risk with Gabriel Martinelli with that game against Porto in mind, because I certainly want him playing against Porto. So I'd be starting Leandro Trossard for this game, I have to say. When I'm choosing my selection, I wouldn't be going mad. Like I said, I wouldn't be making wholesale changes because of the Champions League game, but I just wouldn't take any risks. If the medical staff are saying we're not sure on Gabby, if this cut's going to get any worse when he's playing, I wouldn't risk aggravating it. Leandro Trossard for me. But let me know what you guys think. I will do a show tomorrow morning doing my predicted 11, that sort of thing. And if you want to get involved in that show, let me know your comments in the comments below, your opinion. You know, who do you want to see starting? Give me your starting 11s. If you want to play, if you'd play Gabriel Martinelli, explain why. If not, tell me who you'd like to see on the left-hand side. Please do anything you want to say in terms of the game and what you want to see from Mikel Arteta. Let me know in the comments below. So yeah, yesterday's training session, we saw Thomas Partey in action again. You know, I think he was very, very rusty, no doubt about it, when he came on against Sheffield United, but still really, really good to see him. And I would be surprised if he started tomorrow, but I certainly expect him to get a little bit longer maybe than he did against Sheffield United, as Arsenal and Mikel Arteta to try and build up his fitness. Gabriel Jesus, exactly the same. Even Fabio Vieira, who, as I've said many times this week, I thought looked really, really, really bright. Yuen Timber continues to train, continues to work with the squad now on a daily basis, really, really stepping it up. I still don't expect him to feature in the next couple of games. Maybe after the international break, we might see him. I'm still wouldn't be at all surprised. I'm not sure when Arsenal's under 20. I should have checked this out, actually, when Arsenal's next under 21s game is. But I do wonder if Arsenal might give him a couple of runouts in the 21s, or certainly one run out in the 21s before they throw him straight back into the first team squad. But it's just great to see him in and around training now. Every single time they post pictures or post videos from training, you know, he's front and centre in all of it. So he's clearly really, really close now. And it's just that final sort of last hurdle to get over before coming back into the squad. And for the run-in, you know, such a big, big boost to Arsenal to have him back for the run-in potentially. So yeah, really interesting to see on that one. Thomas Partey, looking forward to see him playing back at the Emirates. Looking forward to see Gabriel Jesus as well. And when you just look at the training pictures that Arsenal putting out now, you just realise that the extra options Mikel Arteta now has available to him. He's been really, really stretched for a long time because of the injuries to really crucial players, and players who can provide an awful lot of unpredictability and versatility as well, which has a big, big impact when Mikel Arteta names his starting 11s and when he considers who could fit and who could play where. To suddenly see all of these players back now on the training pitch together, it's just a huge boost to such a crucial stage of the season. Mikel's been speaking in the press conference yesterday. If you haven't seen the comments, there was lots of questions about, are you going to be watching the Liverpool game on Sunday? How are you going to spend it? This is what he's had to say about sort of Arsenal, the focus for Brentford, and that the sort of background of Liverpool versus Manchester City looming large over the whole weekend. He says, there's when it comes to focusing on Brentford, he said, that's the only thing we can control is perform well, play better than them and earn the right to win the game. Let's do that. And if we do that, then on Sunday, it's a beautiful game to watch for any football supporter. And I will certainly be watching it. He was asked many times if he cares about the result and who he would like to win or what result he would like to see. And he said, I can't control it. I will enjoy a magnificent game of football between two of the best teams in Europe in the last decade. And let's see what that brings. But the focus is on us and Brentford. Again, when he was asked if he had any preference who will win, he said, privately and publicly, I have the same answer because it's nothing to do with me. So he insists he has no preference on who he wins. He says he's going to watch the games with his kids on Sunday. Now, myself and James Bench were talking in Inside Arsenal Extra Time yesterday, and we were saying probably a draw is the best result for Arsenal. Now, Matt here has got in touch, and a few others of you have got in touch as well, and have pointed this out. Matt, like Matt says, hi, Charles, love all the content. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Matt. So you and James are saying a draw would be the best result in the Liverpool versus City game, but is a City win actually the best result for us? I think we will have to beat City regardless if we want to win the league. So if we beat Brentford, fingers crossed, City beat Liverpool, and then we beat City, everything crossed, then we would go 2 points clear at the top. What are your thoughts? Yeah, look, it's a really tough one. I mean, it's such a big game. The margins are so slim at the moment in this title race. You know, a draw or a win, I don't know. I still feel like a draw would be a good result for Arsenal. I don't think I want anyone to get 3 points out of that game on Sunday. And maybe when you look at it and you break it down and you do all the maths, maybe a City win would work for Arsenal. But I still think right now I'd prefer the draw. But I know, obviously, you think different. And I know a lot of other people seem to be pointing out that they fancy Manchester City as being a Manchester City win as being a better result for Arsenal. But I don't necessarily think Arsenal have to go to the Etihad and win to win the title. I think they could beat Brentford and then they could draw at the Etihad next time out. And I still think they've got a really good chance of winning the title, given how many games to come between now and the end of the season and the difficult fixture list that everyone has got. So, I wouldn't be disappointed if City win. I think I definitely don't want a Liverpool win, put it that way. I wouldn't be overly disappointed if City win, but I still think right now a draw, if you held me down and demanded an answer out of me by the threat of torture, I think I would still probably go for the draw as my pick.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And Mikel's been speaking about Kai Havertz in the build-up to the game. Kai has now scored 3 goals in 3 successive games, been in fantastic form, whether that be in midfield where he's played well, whether it's been up front where he's played well. Just having a really big impact on the season now, Kai Havertz, and proving an awful lot of doubters wrong, which is fantastic to see. Mikel's asked about the impact that Kai's having at the moment. He says it shows his character as well and how he has dealt with all those question marks, the attitude he showed all the time when things were not good in certain phases of the game, but he continued to work hard, and that's why he's loved by everybody here. And then we can see his quality and intelligence on the pitch and the contribution he's having to the team, so we're really happy with him. He was asked about Kai's ability to sort of press from the front and how that works with the way Arsenal want to play. He says, yeah, and his ability to occupy space as well in transition moments and to exploit them. The aggression he has in high press is really, really good. He has the physical qualities to play very different kinds of games, and that's an attribute that we felt was going to be very positive for us. Again, when I talk about the players who have suddenly come back from injury now and the versatility that they bring and the options that they give Mikel Arteta, you know, I think it's definitely, when you look at Kai Havertz and the options that he gives Arteta, whether that be, again, like I said, playing in that midfield role or playing up front or being able to drift out wide and interchange with the likes of Trossard if he's starting, Odegaard if he's playing, Martinelli, all those sort of players, I think that's just such a key reason why Mikel signed Kai Havertz in the start was that he just looked at him and thought, I can play him in a number of positions and he's going to do a really, really good job for me. And look, the start was difficult. There's no doubt. I questioned it. I looked at it and thought, is this going to work? I was seeing no real signs that it was going to work for the first few months, but it's impossible now to look at what Kai Havertz is doing, look at the impact he's having on the team, looking at how confident he feels and how, for the first time really, he really looks like he's part of it all and that he feels like he belongs here. And you can't criticise, you can't say he's not doing a very good job for Arsenal. And it's great to see. And I think it says a lot as well about writing players off too early. Now, I think we're all guilty of it. It's just nature as football fans, isn't it? Like I said, I was beginning to give up all hope of Kai Havertz finding form for Arsenal. And, you know, when I look back on that, I think that was probably far too early to be doing that. He's only a few months into his career at a club where he's come from somewhere completely different, where his confidence was low, a club that was a mess. And maybe it was far too early to write players off like that. And you've just got to give players time. Sometimes they take longer than others. Sometimes, like Declan Rice, he'll hit the ground running. Sometimes it'll take 6 months. Sometimes it'll take a season. And I think Kai Havertz has proven an awful lot of people wrong. And I'm very, very glad to be in humble pie at the moment when it comes to him. Right, moving on to some of your questions and comments ahead of the weekend's game and the weekend's action. Chris here has got in touch and says, no rotating, no resting against Brentford. Get the job done and the rest comes in the second half when you can make subs and bring in Tommy, Partey and all. Neat and Cleet says, I think we see the exact same starting 11 for Brentford as with Sheffield United, with obviously Ramsdale coming in for Raya. If Martinelli isn't fit, then Trossard on the left. You agree with me there. Arteta believes the players can turn around and play 3 days later, so I do not think rotation will be a priority. If we get ahead by a few goals, I expect some early subs, but otherwise we play our strongest players. And John says we can batter Brentford in the first half, then rotate at half-time. I love your optimism there. John says, then do the same against Porto. The starting 11 is on fire and you never change your winning formula until it starts running out of luck. So all of you there appearing to be saying, you know, no resting, play the same starting 11 in both games, keep it going. And as I said, I do agree, apart from if there is a significant doubt over Martinelli. If there's any risk over Martinelli, if there's any sort of concern over him from the medical department, then I'd definitely be playing Leandro Trossard on the left-hand side in this one at the weekend. MHE87 says, I haven't read this anywhere, just a personal hope. What would you think about Arsenal trying to convince Szczesny to come back to Arsenal next season as our number two? I think he has a year left on his contract at Juventus, obviously. So I can't imagine at his age he'd have a big transfer fee. He'll be 34 in the summer. And at this stage in his career, may be open to a backup role in the right situation where you can likely offer him a more generous contract than cash-strapped Juventus. It's my understanding he's remained an Arsenal fan. He can get a chance to end his Arsenal career on a high note and not how it's currently ended with a sour taste in his mouth. I'm confident we'll be a team competing for 4 titles next year, so he'll get some games for Arsenal. I don't think we could ask for a better backup given his Juventus and Roma experience. Look, I would love this. And when I saw this and I read this comment, I hadn't really thought about Szczesny. Myself and James were talking a couple of weeks ago in Inside Arsenal Extra Time about sensible number two backup options to replace Ramsdale, who we all expect to leave in the summer. And we were talking and we both said, rather than go down the sort of young route, that the probably more experienced route was the way to go down. I think I brought up the example of Fraser Forster at Spurs as a good sort of option for a number two. And I couldn't really think of anyone off the top of my head, but then I read this about Szczesny. I thought that'd be fantastic. Ultimately, it'd be down to Szczesny, wouldn't it? If he'd want to come to, I think, is he still Poland number one? I mean, if he is, would he really want to risk his international place by coming and being a number two where, and he'd know he'd be a number two. And he's obviously had a fantastic career in Italy, Szczesny, whether he'd want to come and sort of see out the last few years of his career as a on the bench. I don't know. I mean, he is still a big Arsenal fan, no doubt about that. He still regularly watches Arsenal, keeps in touch with what Arsenal's going on. Mikel Arteta is a former teammate of Szczesny. So is he? Oh, I say that and now I'm sort of doubting myself. No, he is. Definitely they played together, didn't they? Szczesny and Arteta definitely played together. So there'll be a relationship there. Look, I think it's a great idea. It, you know, when you're asking for my thoughts, I think it's a great idea. Whether Szczesny would think that, we'll have to wait and see. But it's definitely the sort of goalkeeper that I'd be looking at to come in and play back up to David Raya next season. Here's one from Addy, who says, we did one win. This was in response to something I said yesterday, where I said Mikel's never won a European knockout game at the Emirates, I said. And Addy said, we did have one win in European knockout game under Arteta against Benfica in the 2020-21 season. Orba scored the winner. Danny Ceballos made an error, which almost knocked us out. Yeah, I remember that game, but that wasn't at the Emirates. That was in Greece? That was during COVID, wasn't it? When they had like the home and away games against Benfica were in Rome and Greece, weren't they? Or Italy and Greece. I think it might have been Rome. So yeah, it wasn't at the Emirates. So that's what I was saying. Mikel's never won a knockout game at the Emirates. That's a record he absolutely has to end on Tuesday night. Right, I think that's about it for me, everyone. Thank you very much for your time. As always, really do appreciate it. Like I said, I'll be back in the morning to do a bit of a preview show ahead of the big, big game at the Emirates. So if you want to get involved in that, let me know who you think should be starting. Any thoughts about team selection, let me know in the comments below. But until then, everyone, have a very good start to your weekend. I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.